I'm Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. I am back in my office. I'm not sitting in my car this week. Back in my office recording this. And it's been such an interesting week or two since I recorded the last podcast. I've had some great coaching sessions with clients and I've had an opportunity to take a little break, a week off with my daughter and to do a bit of thinking. One of the things that I like to do in this podcast is to share with you what I've been questioning and where that questioning has taken me to give you the opportunity to do the same kind of questioning and see where it might take you. And this is sometimes big stuff and sometimes little stuff. So by little stuff, what I mean is the stuff that you can do, that an individual can do, how you can evolve and grow as a person to become more leaderful, to bring about changes, big and small, in your own life, in your company, and even in the world. And even though I mean in the world, I still mean small stuff because it's things you can personally do. And then the big stuff is the bigger picture. I want to share with you the questioning that I've been doing and where that questioning's taken me around the big stuff, what's going on in the world that makes me convinced that people like you and me need to do this development work and make these changes in our lives. Not because I think that personal development is fun. Sometimes it is fun, sometimes it is not fun. This is not for that reason, but because I'm concerned about the changes that are heading our way and the fact that many of us are completely unprepared for the implications. In the past, such changes, changes in business, changes in technology, changes in sort of socio-economic politics kind of stuff, impacted, and still do, mainly blue-collar working class jobs. But these changes that are happening now are so transformational that they'll affect highly educated, highly paid people like us who think that our working lives are going to pretty much look like they do until we retire. I can tell you that from my perspective, seeing what I see and asking the questions that I ask, life is not going to be stable for nice, highly educated, highly paid people like you and me. If you're in your 50s now, you may be hoping that you retire before any of this hits the fan. If you're in your 30s or 40s, and by the way, I've met plenty of people in their 50s who basically are betting on getting out before all of this change really overwhelms their organisation. If you're in your 30s or 40s, you've experienced life before the internet. You now experience life with technology everywhere, but people still basically operating that technology. And you know that the next wave of revolutionary tech is going to hit while you still have 15 to 35 years left of working life to go, maybe more. Even if you're in your 50s, I think you're deluding yourself if you think you're going to get out of this without experiencing any of this momentous change. This isn't only about you and your career, but about the companies we all work for and work with. They have to change as well. Somebody is going to have to drive that change if these companies are going to continue to exist. Now, many of the companies that exist today will not, because they aren't taking the steps they need to take now. They're not being led. They aren't taking a radical look at what they are and what the world will need them to be. They're tinkering. They're talking about being more collaborative or having a more trust-based decision-making process or being less hierarchical or more human or caring about the environment or the community or being more tolerant to risk, but they're not actually doing anything about it at all. And this concerns me because most of the people that I know work in these organisations. And I feel duty bound to warn you not to be complacent. This doesn't mean jumping ship from your big company that you work with and going to work for an SME or a startup. You could do that, of course, absolutely your choice, but that's not really a leadership conversation. That's a conversation about your career choice, and your career choice, that choice is open to you. But real leadership is more likely about taking an active role in putting voice to the future, seeing what could be, and then taking the lead to make change. Some or most of what today's big businesses do in the world will still be done in future. I don't want to see those companies destroyed when we need and want the things that they do. I'd rather that they were masters of their own destiny, that they saw change coming, or even didn't just react to it, but crafted what the future is going to look like. You've got all these clever, hardworking people, they're certainly capable of that. But if you keep your head down and think that the job two or three steps above you that you've had your eye on since you were a newbie starting your career, if you think that that job is still going to be there in 10 years' time, or that you can carry on doing what you do without enhancing your skills or broadening your scope of interest, you may find yourself as redundant as those guys who used to push the trolley around the office, bring stacks of mail to people at their desks, or the chap who used to stand in the elevator and press the buttons for you in a department store. My mum tells this adorable story about me when I was about 3 or 4, listening to a pipe band, a Scottish pipe band, and pretending to dancing around, pretending to do Scottish dancing. There was nothing in her mind at that time that said when she grows up, she's going to be a coach for senior leaders. Now, there's lots of reasons why my mum didn't think about that, but one of the reasons she didn't think about it was it didn't exist. And it may be that the job that you do didn't exist when you were a kid. Or certainly if the job existed, not the way that you do it today. So what I want to share with you is some of the stuff that's going on. Now, just some. This stuff that I want to talk to you about is like the backdrop for me. I'm not a futurologist or a strategy expert. I'm not the one who's going to predict what your industry is going to look like in 5 or 10 years' time and help you navigate your business there. Not in terms of strategy anyway. But it's relevant to my work with clients because they can't ignore it and therefore I can't ignore it. It has to form part of the backdrop to our conversation. If we're going to talk about their career ambitions or about the talent that they're going to need over the next 5 years to join their organisation or the opportunities in their market or how they want to evolve their role from manager to leader, we can't do that in isolation from what's going on in the world. And you can't either. When you think about your career or when you think about your business, you cannot do that ignoring this backdrop of stuff that's going on in the wider world. So here's some of the stuff that forms my backdrop. There's the kind of hard measurable stuff. So there's the technology, the speed at which we operate today, the international aspect of practically everything that we do, no matter how local your company is, the pace at which we live, the working hours, the pressure on all of us, the pressure to perform, the stress in order to deliver. The competitiveness is getting really extreme. You know, you need to be on your game all the time. The lack of job security. You know, in the past, you could be pretty complacent. I don't think you can be complacent now because the job security doesn't exist. And there's no straight line career path. People are having to zigzag around as new jobs emerge, as new jobs are created, and as opportunities come up. They can't be at 18 planning out their career because who knows where that industry is going to be even in 10 years' time. So there's some of this kind of hard stuff that's going on at the moment. And then there's the cultural stuff that's going on. And all of this stuff is going to build in intensity. So the informality of the workplace, I mean, when I started work, it was quite a formal place with quite a formal hierarchy, and there was certain ways of talking to senior people. If we go back a few years before that, people called each other Mr. This and Mr. That. They didn't actually use first names in the workplace. So the informality that we take for granted now is a relatively new thing, and we're going to see much more of that. The matrix. Organisations are not pyramids anymore, even if the org chart might show them to be. Everyone's working in a matrix. Values and personal development and behaviours and leadership as something distinct from management have all entered our work and our lives in a way that they just were not there 20, 30 years ago. Work has become a highly psychological venture, requiring a level of self-awareness and awareness of others and dynamics between people and teams and you and the customer and you and your stakeholders that was inconceivable when I think about the dinner conversations in our house that we had as a kid, talking about my dad's job and his experiences in the office that he worked. None of this stuff was part of the conversation. That's not because he was shielding us from it. We just didn't talk about it because it just wasn't part of the landscape. And even in my first job in radio, there just was none of this. You got the job and you did the job. There was no talk about matrixes or matrices, maybe I should say, values, personal development, behaviours, leadership, any of this self-development stuff, none of it. My prediction, and it's not just mine, of course, I get it from all sorts of sources, is that there is a huge change coming, led in a way by the bots and the AI. In the next 10 years, it's predicted that half of the jobs that are currently done by people will be done by bots. So this and all the other changes that I've talked about raise some questions. One question: what jobs will be left? What industries will we need, or what industries will be left? What skills will we need? I mean, clearly we'll need people to program the bots unless they get really good at doing that themselves, which is kind of scary because it'll be out of our hands. But presumably we will need people with a high level of technical expertise in order to create the next generation of bots and to evolve that technology. So fine, we'll need that. But what else? We're not all going to be coders. We're not all going to work in tech. In fact, probably very few of us will. So does that mean that there'll be an increase in work that's not technology, maybe in the arts, the stuff that you could say is not the necessities of life, but the stuff where we can really express ourselves because all the dull stuff is done by bots? Now, we've been saying for a long time that technology is going to mean that we have more leisure time and that we can indulge our artistic and creative pursuits, and it hasn't resulted in that. In fact, we've got less time, we're under more pressure, working hours are up. But it's possible that if the bots are doing the dull stuff, then the repetitive stuff, the stuff that doesn't need a lot of creativity or a lot of emotional awareness, what will be left for us is the stuff that actually does require all of that. And maybe that will be jobs in the arts, jobs being creative, jobs in caring for people in the community. That's a possibility. Another possibility is that we might have to deal with a lot of unemployment. Although there is a promise that there will be new jobs, jobs we can't conceive of now, that is enabled by what the bots are able to achieve, we don't know what those jobs are going to be and who they're going to be for. It isn't a guarantee that the same people on the production line in a factory, in a car factory, I don't know if they even have people on the production line of a car factory anymore, but metaphorically speaking, those people aren't necessarily going to be prepared to do these new jobs that are enabled by bots. So new ideas like the universal living wage, a sort of no strings basic income, then become relevant. We cannot have people, vast numbers of people with no work, and we have nothing to offer them because the jobs that they're qualified to do or capable of doing are done by bots. So something like a universal living wage suddenly becomes really important for our society to keep our society together. Another change, we're living longer. And this changes our career plans and our health plans. So wellness may dominate rather than curing sickness. Otherwise, those last 40 or 50 years of life could be pretty hellish. If many of today's diseases are cured, then what that means is that something else is going to get us. Who knows what a 120-year-old will suffer from? If it isn't cancer or dementia or heart disease or the flu, because we've cured those, what new diseases will we be faced with? A question I ask myself, will anyone have a job with a company that kind of owns them, a full-time staff job? Will we all be freelancers or consultants, trading our expertise to whoever needs it? And that brings me to a further thought, will big business exist? Will it need to? There's now so much outsourcing, so much enthusiasm for collaborating. Is it just ego that attaches these companies to the idea of scale? Do they really need scale, or is scale bad for them? Will they realise that they're better off broken into micro-businesses operating collaboratively with each other, and that those micro-businesses regularly die and are reborn as their work is done and new work needs to be done? Another question, will people tolerate work that doesn't enhance their life or their world? One argument is yes, there won't be enough jobs, so people will be highly willing to compromise. But another perspective is that people won't expect loyalty, a job for life, and security from the company they join. So you might be willing to compromise on the quality of the job or how happy it makes you if in exchange you're offered security. If the job can't offer you security, you may not be willing to make compromises on your side. You might expect to be rewarded with something else, some kind of sense of meaning. And anyway, if so many people that you know are out of work, or that if working all the time becomes kind of unusual and rather strange, it won't be strange to be out of work or to be taking a year to travel or volunteering or whatever it is that you do between gigs. What will we do with all the older workers? At the moment, the only way is up. You retire normally at the peak of your career. But if you're going to work well into your 60s, maybe 70s, maybe longer, retiring at the peak isn't an option. It may not be ideal to think of your career as only a one-way journey. Maybe what people will want is a career path after the biggest job of their life. And at the moment, in most organisations, there's nothing there for people right now. If humans are valued more for their humanity because bots are doing the dull, mundane stuff, then it means that we will need to be more connected with ourselves. If we're more connected with ourselves, we'll make different choices. We might make a choice rather than moving up the organisation to move along, because we know that will be fulfilling for us, or to take a break, or to change career many times, to do what used to be called a portfolio, to have multiple jobs that you're working on at the same time. I'm having conversations now with friends and clients about whether it's possible to work less hard and earn more money, or whether it's possible to work less hard and live a rewarding life without sacrificing money, or whether it's possible to work less hard and live a rewarding life and sacrifice the money, because the money isn't bringing peace or meaning anyway. As you know, we're doing the homeschooling thing now, so I'm in this world. There are homeschooling families, like they're called world schooling families, that just sell up and they use the money from the sale of their home and everything, all their belongings, to just live on the road. We have digital nomads. We have people making money from their empty room or from the car they only drive on Saturdays and Sundays, or exchanging goods and services rather than paying hard cash. We're becoming less reliant on the conventional wisdom that you need to have a 9-to-5 job and work your way up. there are other ways to live made possible by all the changes that I'm describing. And if you can live the life you want by Airbnb-ing your garage and renting out your parking space and letting other people rent your car and sharing a veg plot on a grass verge and occasionally doing someone's taxes, why wouldn't you? As I said, I'm not a futurologist. In 15 years, we may look at our world and feel that it's still fundamentally industrial in nature, even with all the new technology that's coming all the time. But I am putting my bets on it not being. I think, as leaders, we need to spend at least some of our time contemplating what the world might look like, or how it could look, how we could turn all of this into a great opportunity to live a more meaningful life, and then start unpicking what we've inherited and rebuilding the future. I hope you found that thought-provoking. It's always my intention to get you thinking. I don't necessarily have the answers, but maybe some of the questions that I've asked and some of the meanderings of this podcast have made you, given you some connections and made you see things in a slightly different way. I hope so. Don't forget to rate and review this podcast. It helps people to find us. It really does. I'd love to be in the first kind of 5 to 10 podcasts around leadership on iTunes. So if you could help, that would be fantastic. Please also sign up to the newsletter to get your free 5-part series of articles that I've written. And with information about how to do that, here is the lovely, the gorgeous Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you, especially if today's podcast has inspired you. You can also stay in touch with us on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Leeds Palmer, or by email blair@thatpeoplething.com. And don't forget to rate or review this podcast on iTunes. It will help other people to find us and share these ideas. We would really appreciate you doing that. Now, please, I'm begging you on my hands and knees. I'm really begging you. Please. Bye.